So you said you're out in Washington. One of your listeners, local listeners, could still access any of the courses that we offer, certified or not. And the same is true across the board. So we all offer things that make sense in our area based on our local economy, and National offers things across the board and some larger opportunities. They get funding differently. So sometimes they'll be able to do a whole cohort of training with high-level opportunities.
Welcome to the Brands for a Better World podcast, the podcast that brings you the stories behind people and products building a more just, healthy, and regenerative future for us all. Tune in weekly, and together, we'll learn why these better products and brands were created, how they're helping fix broken systems, and what you can do to support them. My hope is that you'll discover some new brands to love and get some sparks of inspiration that will help you live your best life. Hi, I'm your host, Gage Mitchell, founder of Modern Species, a sustainable brand design agency helping better brands grow to scale their impact. This podcast is one way we do that. If you like the show, please help it grow by leaving ratings and reviews on your podcast app and by sharing your favorite episodes with your friends. Maybe this will be one of them. This episode is part of a 2023 Impact-Driven Gift Guide series, where we're digging deeper into some of the impact certifications we chose to feature in this year's guide, so you have a better understanding of what they each mean and how they're helping make the world better. To get your copy of the gift guide, go to modernspecies.com/gift guide. This episode's guest is Elizabeth Walsh, president of Women's Business Enterprise Center East. And we talk about the women-owned certification, what it means and why it's important, how the WBENC supports women entrepreneurs, and how you can too. We then wrap up with a fun gift-themed segment of rapid-fire questions. Enjoy.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Walsh, president of WBEC East, which is the Women's Business Enterprise Center East. We cover Pennsylvania, Delaware, and South Jersey, all things entrepreneurial, primarily targeted at women.
And thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on the podcast to share a little bit more about WBEC as well as the women-owned certification. I'm super excited to dive into that because I love all these impact certifications, and I think the women-owned one is especially important in these entrepreneurial times where there's so many resources and so much like privilege and access and other things that have historically just gone to men and especially white men, that we need to like shift that balance and see how unequal it's been in terms of access to funding or access to loans or opportunities in other kind of entrepreneurial ways. So I think having this women-owned certification that helps at least raise awareness about women entrepreneurship, but then also helps people understand who is women-owned so you can go out there and support them. So these are really important causes. We're also going to have a series about minority-owned businesses too, but I just love these ways of kind of like helping level the playing field a bit. So I appreciate you doing what you're doing and trying to give a leg up to women entrepreneurs. With that said, let's just start with the basics. So we're featuring in this impact-driven guide, the women-owned certification. What is it that makes a business eligible and why do you think it's important to certify?
So do I have about 3 hours? I do want to go back just very briefly to, you mentioned loans. 1988, does that feel like that was a long time ago for you?
Sort of.
You're younger than me. To me, I was probably in kindergarten. 1988 is when women were first eligible to get a business loan in their own name. Wasn't that long ago. It's still an uphill battle for women. So WBEC certification is a national certification accepted by corporations, the government, small companies. It's national, and there are 14, we call them regional partner organizations, kind of the boots on the ground. So there are 14 of us that cover the continental United States and all of our territories. Again, I said in the intro, our territory is small. We cover Pennsylvania, Delaware, and South Jersey, but we actually have the third largest number of certified women business enterprises, just over 1,800. So the certification allows a woman business owner to get her foot in the door. The eligibility is the company must be at least 51% owned by a woman or women. Now, the thing is, it's not just in ownership and in name only. It's also controlled and directed on a daily basis by the woman business owner.
That makes sense too, because otherwise, you know, some people might cheat the system and say, oh, let's just put this person's name on as the 51% owner, but they don't have actually any control. Out of curiosity, how do you verify that portion? How do you verify the control side?
So it is a very robust and comprehensive process. So we take a look at all the organizations, the businesses, organizing documents, their meeting minutes, any trust they have, any loans that they have out. We look at everything, you know, kind of in the gestalt, and then they fill out an online application. We vet all of the information, and we have a group of volunteers who then go through it page by page. And we also conduct what we call a site visit, where we go out and we meet with the woman business owner. Now, post-COVID, we're still doing them virtually, but we'll ask any of those questions that, you know, one of the documents may not have made it really clear, and we talk it through. But we get copies of the contracts that they've signed. We check who is the company's check signatory. It's a lot of material that we get.
Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty thorough verification process. That's great. What would you say is like one of the core reasons why someone would certify? Like, they might already be women owned. They might are people that they're selling to might already know they're owned by and operated by a woman or women. Why would they jump through the hoop of getting certified?
So jump through the hoop, that's a great way to say it. And certifications doesn't make sense for everyone. Some people who, you know, have a little corner shop, what we used to call mom and pops, now we call them mom, little mom store, certification may not bring any benefit to them. But what we're finding is, so typically folks go through the certification process to be able to get into larger companies and larger contracts because of the supplier diversity initiatives that exist. So large organizations have set-asides that they want to make sure that they have a certain percentage of their procurement spend with small and diverse businesses. So certification helps get your foot in the door. It doesn't guarantee you a contract, but it helps get your foot in the door. But what we're also seeing is people are, especially the younger generation, we hear a lot of negative talk about the millennials. They're the ones who are going to change the world. They're the intentional shopper. They're the ones who look for, we have a women-owned logo. So when you're at your local Wegmans and you see two pasta sauces and you turn it and you see the WeBank logo or the women-owned logo, many people will go more for that. So is that pasta company going to get a contract with Aramark or, you know, Comcast? Probably not. But for that intentional shopper, they're going to see. So we talk through with people, because there's also minority certification. There's lots of certifications. Some people can tick a few boxes. Our certification, it's also you enter into a whole network of other women lifting you up. The certification status or symbol may not really net them anything, but that camaraderie of working and being with other women business owners makes it worth their while.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about my agency is B Corp certified and 1% for the planet and climate neutral. And we don't necessarily need any of those certifications to go get business because we don't go after like giant corporate or government contracts or anything like that. But part of the reason I love being those things is the community. You just have this camaraderie, like you said, with all these other like-minded folks and maybe find potential collaborators or, you know, just support each other. In fact, that's part of where this impact-driven gift guide came from, is just community. Be in community with people and then you go do cool stuff together, and then maybe that leads to other opportunities.
And we look at women-to-women spend as well. So it's not just getting those large corporations. They want to sell to other women.
Well, speaking of which, that's a good transition to my next question, which is, you know, I know there's this certification, which we've been talking about, but I also know WeBank does a lot more than just certification. So can you tell us a little bit more about how the organization was founded, or how and why, and what you focus on today?
Sure. So we were founded in 1995, and we were the first gender-focused Small Business Administration's designated Women's Business Center in our tri-state region, our tri-state area. We kind of belong to both of those national networks, both the SBA as well as WeBank. About 3 years ago, we took a look at the life cycle of a woman-owned business and segmented it into startup, scale, sustain, and sunset. When we think of a woman-owned business, the sunset doesn't necessarily mean succession planning. When a woman leaves the company for a period of time for maternity leave, the sun does rise tomorrow. So we look at those four quadrants, and we offer all kinds of virtual, in-person educational opportunities and networking for folks in the different segments. And everyone's not just confined to one area of their business. Some people are starting up and stretching at the same time. So we offer just under 300 courses each year. Some of them are free. Since COVID, we've still been virtual, but we're starting to get back into in-person. Any woman business owner or wannabe woman business owner, we have some type of entrepreneurial assistance to be able to offer to you.
That's amazing. So those 300 courses, are those all live kind of events, live courses that you do, or do you have some of those that are on demand for people whenever they need?
So we have both. We actually partner with Ed2Go for some of the on-demand training programs. Some are repeats. So every month we offer how to get certified, and then we offer maximizing your certification. So those are repeats. But the other ones we're doing business with, so with Vista Energy. So we'll have Vista come on and talk about their supplier diversity initiative and how you get in their pipeline for new or upcoming RFPs that they will be releasing. So we do two doing business with a month. We do a 10-week course of really for targeted towards startups, and they graduate with a business plan. We do a 5-week that's kind of, do you really want to start a business or do you just not like your job now? So we're doing a lot these days with what we're calling encorepreneurs, individuals who, you know, may be of a certain age and have, or may not, but have left a storied career in one industry and are starting something brand new, fresh. So we're doing a lot with that. We saw that need post-pandemic because so many folks were not returning to the healthcare and educational industries. We're seeing a lot of startups outside of those two industries.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that idea of the encorepreneur. One of our past guests was Miyoko Shinner from Miyoko's kind of dairy-free products. And she started that business in like her, I can't remember now, like 50s or 60s or something like that. And she just left that business and she's going to go start a few more. So it's like, there's no end point, right? You can kind of keep going. And so I love that kind of support of the encorepreneur idea.
60 is the new 40.
Totally. I believe that. And I'm hoping that stays true when I get to my 60s. Right now I'm in my 40s. So. Cool. So you've obviously talked to a lot of women entrepreneurs. You've probably supported a lot of women entrepreneurs in various ways. What are some of the common barriers and challenges you've seen specifically for women entrepreneurs?
I think we're still competing in a lot of ways in the old boys network. So we do a lot with just kind of, again, you know, camaraderie and feeling good about yourself so that you can effectively compete there. Women historically and currently are less apt to get approved for business financing. And for, I think it was in 2022 that it was like 1.8% of women who went for VC funding received it, as opposed to 80.7% of men who received it. So it's still access to capital. And then, you know, some of the other things are not gender specific. Most of the small businesses and even larger businesses have been struggling still with workforce issues and still some supply chain issues. So we see that. But for women in particular, it's the worth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of decades and maybe even, I guess, centuries of millennia of baggage around this boys club kind of thing where especially a lot of the, and it is changing, but a lot of the maybe leaders in some of these bigger corporations or whatever grew up in the old boys club and maybe resistant to change. But to your point with the kind of millennials and beyond coming up, hopefully we'll see a lot of that changing as a lot of the leadership changes over. More people are obviously aware of the just pure facts and truth that women are just as capable, if not more capable in many ways than men, right? So like keeping them out of the executive table or entrepreneur opportunities doesn't make any sense.
Right. And we believe in diversity across the board. So there are five generations in the workforce. We believe in that, but there still are those unseen barriers. And especially for our women of color who are WeBank certified, they have it even tougher.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is also, like I said, why we're featuring the women-owned as well as the minority-owned businesses in this guide, because, you know, every layer of oppression will just say that you've got carrying that weight along with the weight of being an entrepreneur is just incredibly difficult, right? So yeah, sure, entrepreneurship is not easy for anyone, but it's a hell of a lot easier if you're not carrying all that other kind of weight with you. So we just love to support in any way we can businesses that do have a more difficult time so that we can hopefully carry some of that weight for them.
Yeah. And we appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thanks. Yeah, we're doing what we can to get the word out about companies that are doing things the right ways and try to shift the balance a little bit, right? So I think we talked about this quite a bit already, but like maybe just for people newer to the WeBec kind of system, I know you're with WeBec East, and there's also the national group WBENC, or I think it is, right? Can you just highlight the differences right now? Is it that the national group or the more regional groups kind of do all the on the ground work and the national groups just kind of led by all those regional groups? Or is there some kind of offering that the national group has that the regional groups don't have?
So we're two separate nonprofit organizations. So it does get a little bit confusing because the national organization, the name is the same as the certification. We are doing their work for them as the boots on the ground. So they are responsible for ensuring the sanctity and the validity of all of those questions that we ask. And they host the website and they work a lot across all 14 RPOs. So folks can join. What's really, really cool is that folks can get certified. You get certified where your headquarters is located, but then it's a network. So you said you're out in Washington. One of your listeners, local listeners, could still access any of the courses that we offer, certified or not. And the same is true across the board. So we all offer things that make sense in our area based on our local economy, and national offers things across the board and some larger opportunities. They get funding differently. So sometimes they'll be able to do a whole cohort of training with high level opportunities.
Sounds a little bit like I went through this program called 10,000 Small Businesses. And they had all these local options that you could go to if there was one available for you. There wasn't one local option for me available out here in the Seattle area. So I joined the national cohort. So it's kind of the same combination. There's like local ways to get involved and there's the national ways to get involved. Some crossover, some separate kind of stuff. So, but then, you know, everyone who goes through the program, whether through regional or through national, joins this alumni network that spans everywhere. So amazing value there. Cool. So maybe let's talk to WeBec East specifically. What are you most proud of accomplishing to date?
I think when I started 5 years ago, we were at just under 1,200 and now we're over 1,800. So we've really gotten out into the community and grown the messaging. And when I started, we were two separate organizations. We were, one was the Women's Business Center and one was the certification. We married them and so that it's easier for people to navigate. You know, it's interesting. We're kind of known as a very welcoming organization because my belief is a woman may have started her own business, but then if we're having a networking luncheon, she still walks in and it's like, back in high school, who do I sit with? Where do I go? So the staff and I have worked really hard at identifying that just because you started your own business doesn't mean that you can walk in and feel comfortable. So we really extend, you know, that level of hospitality in everything that we do, or we try to.
That's amazing. I love that. And obviously, it shows that you're doing a great job if the numbers have jumped that much in the time that you've been there. So that's amazing. You mentioned numbers for you locally, but like, let's talk about the certification. I'm not sure if you have these numbers, but roughly how many businesses are currently women-owned certified? And where can somebody curious wanting to support women-owned, where do they go to find that information?
So there's a couple of different places, and there's over 18,000 nationally. And the easiest place would be to go to the WeBec website, and it's www.webenc.com. www.womenowned.org, and there's a section on there for Women Owned, and you can get right to the directory of some of, not all, but many of the Women Owned products. So that, or you can just Google Women Owned logo, and you'll be able to find that website from there. And then now you'll want to look for it. So you do want to know what it looks like. For us, our website is www.webeckeast.com, and we separated our website into kind of the platform that WeBank National goes on is core certification, opportunities, resources, and engagement. And we did the same with ours. Under our resources page, we have all kinds of how to apply for your LLC, all the economic development partners. Try to really have a nice library for folks to go to. And the opportunities page, sometimes people charge to, you know, like advertise somebody else's events that are coming up. We post everything that we can find on ours. And WeBank actually has a calendar too. So that first website, the WeBank.org website, they have a calendar of events. And you can go to, again, any of the WeBecks out there, any of our events, and you'll see them all in that one location.
Great. So for people not in the East, would they go to the WeBank.org website and find their region and then a link to that website from there?
Yes. Or they can, I don't know if you'll be able to share my contact information. They can certainly reach out to me and I can put them in touch with the right area.
We can share it in the show notes if you're open to it. So let me know if it's email or a LinkedIn or something like that. How do you prefer to be reached out to?
Email. And a lot of people have my cell phone number. So sometimes it's easier for people just to text, and I'm fine with that.
All right. Well, I'll make sure we get the email in the show notes then. All right. So that was a lot of great information around the certification and what WeBank are doing. So thanks for shedding some light on that. We also have some more a little bit of information in the guide and some links there. But in the guide, everyone can see which products that we featured are women-owned certified, so they'll start recognizing the mark there and hopefully go on to buying lots of women-owned products or supporting women-owned services. So love all that. But to kind of wrap up, since you know we are on kind of holiday guide mode right now, I figured maybe we would do a little rapid-fire questions to kind of celebrate that season and learn a little bit more about you. So I'm going to dive in. What's your favorite type of gift to receive?
Anything from a woman-owned provider.
Nice. I like what you did there. Very appropriate. What is your favorite holiday of the year?
I think my two children's birthdays.
Oh, I love
that. I love all the holidays, but I have two kids and I like celebrating their birthdays.
That's cool. And part of the reason we took out the holiday from the name of the guide this year and just called it the Impact Driven Gift Guide is because we figured, you know what? These aren't just for the holidays. You could give them for birthdays too. So if you're tuning in and your children's birthdays are your favorite holidays, get them some gifts from here. All right. And then where do you like to go to shop for gifts?
I try to do as much business as I possibly can locally. So I live in New Jersey and we have, you know, kind of a business district. That's the only bakery I'll go to. I try to do local as much as possible. And obviously, Black owned or women owned, the ones that are near me that I can physically go to.
That's amazing. Is there a favorite shop near you that you want to give a shout out to?
Well, they're actually not certified. It's Desserts by Design. It's a great little bakery, but it's woman owned. So, you know what, to me, we have just in my little town, we also have Lesby Veggies, which is a vegan little cafe that the woman is in the LGBTQ community and a minority and a woman. So not certified, but that's certainly where I want to spend my dollars. You know, so it's certification is really important. The more important thing is to be intentional with your dollars. So I don't only do certified businesses, again, because sometimes it doesn't make sense for somebody to get certified. But I do like to support those who need our support more.
Totally. And we were a little torn with that on the guide, too. We went back and forth on, do we include companies that aren't certified with one of these certifications? And we want to, because, you know, certification doesn't always make sense, or you're too small or too early, or it's too expensive or whatever. So, but we decided for the guide specifically, we wanted to have at least one certification or more in the guide. But what we're planning to do is share some like honorable mentions of companies that we think are still doing awesome things. They just don't happen to have one of these certifications yet.
And that makes sense. And the certification, especially if you're going to publish something, you know if they were certified that they truly are women-owned. Now, the two that I frequent, I go there enough that I can see it. But there does have to be a level of caution with publicizing and advertising this is woman-owned unless you've had that third-party certifier like me go in and vet it for you.
Right. Kind of like all the generic claims out there. We're a sustainable run business. And it's like, really? How do you calculate that? What certifications, like, how are you verifying? That's part of why I like 1% for the planet that we're a member of, because we were already doing lots of giving, right? But like us just telling you we're giving is like, okay, well, are you or are you not? Are you only doing it when times are good? Are you doing it when times are bad? Then who are you giving to? But by going through 1% for the planet, they verify all of our donations. They list it all on their website and so on and so forth. So it's like, it's just that extra level of transparency and integrity. If you could only give one gift to everyone on your list, what would it be?
A rescue dog.
Oh, I'm loving all your answers here. So,
I think
heartwarming.
I don't know how people live without a dog in their life. And rescue dogs are where it's at. So if I ever win the lottery, that's what I'll be doing. I'll be adopting a rescue dog for everybody who I know.
I love it. So that's your Oprah moment. And look under your seat. Everyone's going home with a rescue dog. Love it. And, you know, for the cat people out there, don't worry. We've got dog and cat gifts in the guide as well. But, but I do love that. All right. One more question. Since this is the impact-driven gift guide after all, what does impact-driven mean to you?
Intentional. So WeBank has a slogan, act intentionally. And, you know, if we all act intentionally in everyday life, wouldn't that make a difference? But certainly relative to what we're speaking of, impact driven, the only way we can make an impact is by being intentional. And I think if we think more about where our dollars go and, you know, that we can walk to the corner store instead of ordering from Amazon and impacting the planet that way, and don't want to put Amazon out of business. See, the thing is, I don't want to put anybody out of business, but I want us to all be intentional as possible so that we can make an impact and we can make the changes that are so necessary today.
Right. Like, you don't want to accidentally put a small local business out of business because you weren't being intentional and just doing all your shopping online. So I like that you've mentioned, you know, shopping locally wherever possible, because, you know, sometimes you do just need to order something quick online, and Amazon or some other places like that are a great resource. But when you put your dollars locally, they stay locally. They support more people and businesses and your community. So voting with your dollars there.
There's a need for both in the economy and in our own economies. But yeah, I think impact driven to me is just really being intentional with what we're buying, how we're buying it, and why we're buying it.
Right. I love that. And I like the tie too to intentionality, in that one of the things I've been trying to grapple around is I don't know if it's a specific quote or something like that, but I hear people saying like, well, good intentions aren't always good enough. It's, you got to pay attention to the actual impact. Like, I might have good intentions when I'm telling you your hair looks terrible because I have good, intentions behind wanting to support you and tell you I liked the way your hair was before or something like that, right? But what's the actual impact? It's probably going to be some hurt feelings, and that wasn't what I wanted, right? But so that's where I like that you're tying, like, it's about having the right intentions, but by having those intentions, you're going to choose the things that actually make a better impact, right?
Yeah, it's communication. Communication is a two-way process. So if you tell me my hair doesn't look nice, I'm going to hang up on you right now. But we forget that what I'm offering is not how you're receiving it. And we should be thinking of our money and our purchases in a more communicative way and really want them to make lasting, you know? I mean, what's our purpose? Just to leave the world a better place for the next generation. And so, you know, it all starts with where I spend my money every day and how I spend it.
I can't remember if it made it into the final version of the guide, but there was something about like vote with your dollars and be intentional in there. So this is all very appropriate and I love it. Well, thank you again for carving out some of your time and your really busy schedule with the number of events that you're talking about. I'm blown away. I've run a lot of nonprofit organizations and stuff. So like that number of events just is incredibly impressive. So thank you for doing all that you do to support the community and to be intentional about where you're putting your time, energy, and money, and for coming and shedding some light on this really important subject.
And thank you for everything that you're doing. And to all your listeners, buy women owned.
Indeed. And we've got some great products to for you to look at in the guide. So check out the guide and buy women owned. Love it. Thanks for listening. To learn more about the Women Owned certification, visit WBENC.org. And to learn more about Elizabeth and what's going on in the East, visit WBECEast.com. To get your copy of the gift guide, go to modernspecies.com/giftguide. If you like this show, remember to help us grow by liking, reviewing, and sharing. And if you're new here, don't forget we have over 100 episodes in the archive. Some might be called Evolve CPG, but it's the same show, so dig in for more goodness. If you consider yourself an impact-driven professional, join me over at impactdriven.community, where we're supporting each other's growth as impact leaders.